What does it mean that our names are written in heaven? That, and much more, is what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Luke's Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio program. Really glad that you've joined us because we're in a very exciting series that we're calling 100 Faith Alone Verses. Now, that's based on a book by our very own Dr. Bob Wilkin, and that book will have the same name, 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible. Well, let's go right to today's exciting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We are exploring some chapters in a book that Bob is currently writing, and this book should be ready in the summer, and it's called
100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible.
And it's pretty much about what the title says it's about, right? It's 100 verses that teach that eternal salvation is by faith alone.
Right. It's verses like Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Or John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting
life. So those are kind of like the softball. Those are the easy ones. But there are a lot of harder verses too. It's not quite as obvious why this verse teaches.
Right. Now, the first 73 chapters are ones that I say are clear all by themselves as a standalone. You just read the verse without going into a lot of the context, etc., and it's a faith alone verse. But then starting in chapter 74 to chapter 100, I have 27 chapters in which I call them contextually clear. And in these, the verse itself is only semi-clear. But when you look at it in light of the words around it and the whole book, then it's crystal clear that it's a faith alone verse. And the first one I think we're doing is what, Luke 10:20?
Yeah, Luke 10:20. So this is kind of an interesting choice. Let me read it for us. It says, "Nevertheless," and this is Jesus speaking, "do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And he's talking about the disciples who've come back and they're like, wow, you know, we're doing these signs and wonders and this is amazing. I don't see faith or believing mentioned in here. So why did you choose this verse?
Okay, well, that's a good point. First of all, I would say he's talking here about the book of life. Paul talks about that in Philippians 4:3.
Okay, so the written in heaven refers to this thing called the book
of life. And also Revelation 20:15, anyone's name who's not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the context of Luke 10:20 is Jesus sent out 70 disciples two by two.
Mm-hmm.
This could include the 12, but many think probably this was 70 independent of the 12. So he sent out 70 disciples two by two, and he told them they were to go into the towns of Israel, they were to heal the sick, and they were to say, quote, "The kingdom of God has come near you," unquote. That's Luke 10:9. And Luke then tells us that the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name," unquote, Luke 10:17. Then the Lord told them that serpents and scorpions would not harm them, and he gave them authority over all the enemy, Luke 10:19. But then he says the verses you read, "Do not rejoice that demons are subject to you." He's not saying that it's wrong to have joy in ministry. We should have joy in ministry, right?
Right.
But what he's saying is that's not our primary joy.
Okay.
Our primary joy is that we have an eternal relationship with God. Our names are written in heaven.
Okay.
And so he's saying that they should find the primary basis of all their joy in their eternal relationship with God. The book of life is mentioned in, as I said, Philippians 4:3, Revelation 20, verse 12, and Revelation 20:15, and also 21:27. Now, I have a nice quote here from Darrell Bock, who's a leading New Testament scholar. And here's what he says about Luke 10:20. "Yet Jesus keeps this work in balance when he tells the disciples not to be impressed with their power to cast out spirits, but that their names are written in heaven," Luke 10:18 through 20. That is, Jesus wants his disciples to focus on and to rejoice in their gracious and secure standing before God. unquote. I think that's well said.
Yeah, okay. They're gracious. Why does he say it's a gracious standing?
Well, because, and this is where you're getting to your initial question, how do we know this is by faith?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in the larger context of Jesus' ministry.
Okay.
They're not getting in because they're ministering. They don't have their name in the book because they minister. And also, Bach calls it a secure standing before God.
Right.
In other words, if your name was written in heaven, but it could be taken out tomorrow, there'd be no ground for rejoicing.
Okay. I see that now. So even if you can cast out demons today, but if you could lose your salvation, who cares?
Right. And there's also a quote here from Morris, Leon Morris. Could you read that one?
Yeah. He says, Jesus goes on to teach that they must get their priorities right. Their real ground for rejoicing is not their victory over the spirits. Much more important is that their names are written, perfect tense, pointing to what is permanent, in heaven. Jesus turns their attention to realities that will last. And so Morris is agreeing with Bach, it seems. Bach talked about a secure standing, and Morris is talking about a reality that will last, something that is permanent.
Right.
So once you're written there, your name is there, it's done.
Right. I find this a beautiful verse because, frankly, in ministry, there are lots of ups and downs, right? I mean, we get a lot of criticism from things we write, whether it's a blog, whether it's an article we write for Grace and Focus magazine, whether it's a book we write. Although there are people who really like what we're writing, there are other people who very much dislike it. Same thing with radio. And if we based our feeling on how we're doing on the percentage of people who are paying attention to us and like what we're doing, we would come away depressed.
Right.
But if we base our view on pleasing God and being concerned about what he thinks, well, that's a different approach. And that all starts, it seems to me, Sean, with knowing that our names are written in heaven.
Right.
If I was doing this so that I could make sure I made it to heaven, I would have a very insecure experience, right?
Sure.
I would be saying, I've often joked, you know, the little girl with the tulip, and she goes, he loves me,
right.
He loves me. No, it's a daisy. He loves
daisy
me, he loves
joke.
Me not.
Yeah.
He loves me not, and she hopes she ends on he loves me. Well, a lot of people in Christianity are like that. They hope they persevere to the end, that when they get to the end of their life, the last pedal they pull is he loves me.
Right.
Because if they were to fall away, then somehow they think they wouldn't make it. In some ways, this is a lot like last rites within Catholicism. It's like, well, I got to be hanging in there right at the very end.
Right.
Now,
right.
Protestants don't have last rites, but Protestants have the same sort of thing if they say, well, if I'm faithful to my last breath, I'm going to make it.
Well, this reminds me of, I know there are some people, they spend their Christian lives looking for signs and wonders, and they go to this revival and that revival in this church and follow that pastor, that evangelist, and they're looking for some type of contact with the supernatural in that sense. And yet all the while, they don't know if they're saved or if they're going to stay saved. They're worried that they can lose themselves. In part, they're searching for these things because they're uncertain.
That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Right.
Because a lot of these people will criticize us and say, well, you don't really manifest the true power of the Spirit. I mean, you're not healing the sick.
Right.
You're not speaking in unknown tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you were to do those things, you would give compelling proofs.
Right.
Well, if these proofs are so compelling, why aren't they sure?
Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure that your name is written in heaven? I'm sure. I know that you're sure.
Right.
Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he has promised.
Okay, yes. Your opening question is, read the verse again. What is Luke 10:20?
Yeah. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
And he doesn't say, because your names are written in heaven because you believe in me. Now, I would argue that's understood for multiple reasons. Number one, as both Bach and Morris point out, this is a permanent status.
Yeah.
Being in the book of life. This
right.
can't be taken away. So therefore, they're not doing ministry so they can stay in the book or get in the book. They're doing ministry for another reason. But it also seems to me that we know that there's a difference between serving Christ and believing in Christ. And I think that's implied in this verse. They're not rejoicing the demons are subject to. They're rejoicing in the underlying issue, which is your names are written in heaven.
Well, can I ask you a question? I know this might be a curveball here, but do you think Judas or people like Judas were among the 70 here? Are these all believers, or is it a mixed group, or what do you think?
That's a good question. Initially, I thought maybe this included the 12, which means it would include Judas. And of course, we know from John 6:64 that some people who were Jesus' disciples were not believers.
Right, because a lot of people literally followed Jesus, but they didn't necessarily believe in him yet.
Right. Some people were following but not believing, and Judas was an example of that.
And some people were believing and not following.
Right.
Too, right?
So, you had that also.
Right.
But your question is well taken. I think most likely this is 70 believers who were following Jesus, and it was true of all of them. But it doesn't have to be, because, for example, Jesus said in John 13, well, I can't remember the exact verse, maybe it's 10 or 11, and also John 15, too, you are clean, but not all of you. But before he says, but not all of you, he says, you are clean.
Right.
And he's referring to the betrayer. Well, it's possible here he could be saying, your names are written in heaven, but not giving the exception. Of course, excluding Judas and any other unbelievers.
Right.
So you could be right. Maybe it includes that. But it's also possible that these were 70 believing disciples.
Okay.
But I think the reason why I would say we know that it's because of their belief, look at the verse which follows verse 20. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. The word revealed suggests that he's revealed the truth about himself
right.
to people who had childlike faith. I think also another way we know this refers to faith is when you look at other verses in the New Testament, it's very clear that the only way we get life
yeah.
is by believing in him. John 3:16, John 5:24, etc. And the only way you would get in the book of life would be by believing in Jesus. And so we might think of John chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, John 11, 25 and 26, John 20, 31, Acts 16, 31, 1 John 5, 9 to 13, many other texts. And so the point is, even though this verse does not explicitly say your names are written in heaven because you believe,
right.
that's implicit in the overall context.
Well, thanks a lot for those thoughts, Bob, and be sure to look for his new book. It'll be available this summer, summer 2020. It'll be called 100 Faith Alone Verses.
Thanks, guys, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Romans 6:23, a very important verse, so you're not going to want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.